Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello, everyone. It's JVL here with my best friends, Sarah Longwell and Tim Miller of The Bulwark. Guys, we had a big budget vote last night with lots of drama, and I don't understand it at all. I don't understand why it's important or what's going on. Can one of you explain this to me? Because this wasn't the budget
vote. I hope it's Tim.
was Sarah not awake during our prep meeting? Okay. Neither of you guys want to talk about this. I got it. I'll just carry everybody on this one. Here is, I think, why this matters is, well, on the, it is important to say that this budget, because I saw a lot of people getting this wrong on the internet yesterday. This budget has no force of law. It does not do anything, actually. It only gives the House Republicans now a framework with which to pursue their reconciliation agenda. So not to be too dorky, but essentially what it does is it's like, here is our framework, right? Which is, we're going to cut X amount. This is why people are focused on the Medicaid, because it doesn't actually say you're going to cut Medicaid, but it says you're going to cut $800 to $900 billion under the HHS rubric. Everybody assumes that ends up being Medicaid. We're going to cut taxes X amount, $3.5 trillion. You know what I mean? So like that is what it does. It sets up the framework for the budget for then, you know, what the government funding plan and the tax plan and the reconciliation bill that they're actually going to put forward. And so, you know, I think that there is some important fighting going on, right? Because there are going to be some Republicans who are like, I don't actually care that much about these cuts. I just want the tax cuts. There's some that are like, I'm still a budget hawk. There's Chip Roy, right? So like that is the wrangling.
Who think it's not enough. Who think like right now the framework doesn't include enough cuts.
Enough cuts, right. So that is what all the haggling was over, right? And, you know, Massey, the one Republican that ends up voting against it, is just like, this adds trillions to the deficit, to the debt, right? And so that's why he votes against it. And then there are people on the other side, as always, like the moderates, if you want to call it, the non, you know, ideological MAGA rightists, the ones who like actually want to be responsive to their constituents, who are like, I have a lot of people on Medicaid in my debt. So it's not so much that they're moderate, but they're like, I'm a little concerned about these cuts because I have a lot of people on Medicaid in my district. And so like that is the gist. And to me, the interesting thing is that this, given the fact that this had no force of law, that my enemy, Josh Holmes, who's McConnell's old guy, formerly frenemy, downgraded to enemy, he posted, he's like, what are you guys doing? Like, this is just a shirts and skins vote. Like, you should just vote for it because it's like, you know, work out the details later. And like, I think the interesting thing about his point is that like, yeah, this should have been the easiest vote, right? And he ekes it out by the skin of his teeth by one vote. He didn't think he had the votes at first. He had to pull it down, and then they twisted a couple of arms, and they like sent people home, and then they called them when they're in their Ubers. They're like, turn the Uber around, come back. We do have the votes now. It's like the fact that it was that much of a shit show to just get this unenforceable budget through, I think does not augur very optimistically for their ability to keep the budget open, actually pass a reconciliation bill, et cetera, et cetera.
To be clear, in my defense, I did know most of that.
Okay, great.
Here's the thing I didn't know. No. So what I didn't know was exactly what happened last night. So I was following it in the Slack, and I knew they pulled the vote and had to come back and like voted, and eventually it passed. So I didn't quite follow the drama of the evening.
Yeah, right. Basically, and the simple just thing on that is like, so Massey was the one vote. They can only lose two. Eventually, when all of the people come back in, they might be able to lose three at some point in the future. But Massey is the one that's a no. And then there were three others. There's a Victoria Spartz lady who is from Indiana, who seems like insane. And I don't know if English is her first language. And she was saying that she wasn't going to vote for it and then changed her mind. And then Tim Burchett, who is one of the guys that overthrew McCarthy, who's saying that he was going to pray on it, so he couldn't. So Mike Johnson didn't know how to whip him because he was going to pray. He was going to talk to God about it, and then there was another guy from Ohio, and so it was like there were kind of three stragglers that we're dealing with.
I'm surprised Mike Johnson didn't just say, "Our God has already spoken."
Yeah, right.
Okay? He wants you to pass this budget.
So this is why Lee Stefanik can't be the ambassador to the UN, right? Okay. Question. Because I think that I've got a way for Republicans to cut the Gordian knot on the Medicaid cuts.
Okay.
Can't they only cut Medicaid benefits for Democratic voters? Can they be targeted Medicaid cuts? And before you tell me no, I want you to explain to me how the force of law would actually prohibit that in 2025 America.
Yeah, well, this is where Elon getting into all the data becomes creates a really a different place for us, because normally you sort of couldn't do that. But now they have all that info. They know everybody's voting behavior. And so they could actually do it.
Right.
I think one of the main problems there is not legal, but political. They've convinced themselves, the Republicans, that now they've made big inroads with Black and Hispanic working class voters. And so the easiest way to do this, what you're talking about, would be to just cut Medicaid in like Black neighborhoods or in states.
No,
that
any place that's like saying, more than D plus 10. He's saying you go to the voting rolls, you'd cross-reference them with the people who are on Medicaid.
Yeah. A lot of people that are Democrats
just like
in the voting
D plus
rolls
20,
are MAGA
right?
voters, though. Yeah,
if you're in a D plus 20
but they
district,
see who you voted for
that district now. Is not going to get Medicaid.
We are not quite in Russia. You cannot
okay,
see
you're
who
right.
you voted
you're right.
for.
You know sure? what? To be fair, I don't know why I'm leaning into JVL's scenario, because I also obviously agree with that in reality that like we're not quite there yet. But we're also like not never getting there. I gotta sure. say, Kara Swisher, when she's on the pod, doing the focus group pod, I like have now run down many of the things that she did change the framework for how I was thinking about a lot of things by.
Oh, great. So Kara says all the stuff I've been saying for months, and no, you're suddenly like, boy, you know, she's got a good point.
Stop yourself.
She's a tiny lesbian, no, so I will listen to her.
there's some validity in that. Yes. Sorry. the musings of like straight men don't always like land and then like sear.
Sure. No, fair.
Hold on. First of all, I have never heard you say this particular thing, or if you've said it, you've never said it this succinctly. But her point about like Elon competing on AI, the way for him to win with Sam Altman and the competition on AI. And I only know this actually from listening to another podcast of theirs, because I don't follow the tech news. But if you go down back through the intrigue of Elon and Sam Altman and how he was originally with their company and didn't want it to be a nonprofit, and they got in a fight because he wanted it to be a for-profit. And so he took his ball and went home. And so now he's got his competing AI stuff, and how the number one thing that he wants is all the data. He wants all the data from the government. And the reason that I think this landed so hard, not just as a point, but in thinking about everything they're doing now, not only does he have access to all the data, and like we have no, are they uploading it all into a cloud? Like, what are they, what's the tech, how would we stop them? How do the people in the government have any idea what, are they bringing in big, things that they're just downloading the data onto? Maybe.
5.25-inch floppy disks.
Yeah.
It's all on 5.25-inch floppies.
All ball bearings these days.
She didn't even talk as much about this, but if you start going down like her path, all of the places that regulate his companies, right, and all of his competitors, they have all the government has all the information, the like what's in Coke information for all of these companies, because they've done investigations into them, whatever. And so Elon can go get all the information. Like, if you're him, would it not be very helpful to be able to go and see what your AI competitors have done, what patents they filed, all of that? So, like, the amount of information he now has, like, I guess I hadn't, and you show me, Mr. JVL, the JVL, you show me where you've done, you've made that exact point.
I mean, I'm sure it was in one of the newsletters you didn't read. So I want to use this as a segue to when you say, like, hey, we're not in Russia yet. Two things.
I was just making a narrow factual point about the fact that you cannot see who people voted for. You can look at where you're registered and which primary you voted in, but we are not that's not an available piece of information to AI.
However, when you cross-reference that on top of, say, all the stuff that Google Pixel or the Facebook algorithm gets from you, you can build a fairly accurate picture.
Sure. I feel like right now we're just giving them ideas. Can we go back to the budget fight? Sorry.
Sure.
Because I want to do a little bit on Massey, who sometimes for me is like worst person in the world makes a decent point.
Yeah.
And it's because the thing I hear this from voters a lot. Republicans do this a lot. And frankly, I'm sensitive to it because of all of the things that I think really pushed me into the Republican camp is that I was a debt and deficit hawk. Mm. I was always like, we cannot spend like this. Our debt is with China. This is a national security risk. And the idea, too, it's always just sort of offended me is from a common sense standpoint of we should not let our debt get this high. We should pay for our debt. We should set a budget. Like that idea of like an American family, you have to set a budget. And granted, sure, the American government is big and complex, but like we are at a very dangerous level of debt. And the thing that Massey is saying that is true, you cannot, without making some of the cuts, but you cannot cut taxes. You cannot cut taxes. And then you're not going to be able to offset it with this spending program and get anywhere on the debt. Like if you do a tax cut, and this is where Trump added so much to the debt. And voters don't. I'll never forget listening to voters.
More than any president in history.
More than any president in history, he added to the debt. And so, like, they do not at all have a plan right now to cut real stuff out of it, right? And so Massey's point of it doesn't, like, he is correct. For them to do any of the things they say they're going to do, he's correct.
Yeah. I mean, what Massey wants is, like, to end Medicare and Medicaid. Right. Like, a solution to it might not
actually
be. I
don't agree with him on that point.
Yeah,
I just
exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But no, his critique is right. I mean, like even the MAGA economists, like the fake MAGA economists are like, this plan is only going to increase the debt by $1 trillion.
Right. Know?
Like that's like their pitch, right? When it's like the real number is probably like $4 or $5 trillion, right? Like, so, you know, I mean, that's just, like the actual state of play.
It's not only that Trump doesn't have a plan to reduce the debt. They have no interest in it. Like, it isn't like, you know, they've been talking
Russia
about
can
reducing
buy our
debt.
Debt now. We can just sell all of our debt to Russia and they can own
got
a
all
nice
sorts
chunk
of
the
potential partnerships United that we can States. Have with them now.
Yeah, it's great.
Rare earth minerals, though, might pay off the debt. It's hard to know how many rare earth
minerals
are underground.
Maybe the tariffs. Maybe our big, beautiful tariffs will pay off the debt, right? And the rare earth minerals from Ukraine that we take from them. All right. So listen, we got to move on because we got a hard out today. On the subject of Russia, we had two things yesterday. First, the Trump administration announced that they will now decide who covers the White House. In the White House press pool for 129 years, it has been the White House Correspondents Association, which maybe not 129 years. It's been a long time. I forget the actual number. Please don't hold me to 129 years, although that may be correct.
It's been 117 years that we've had a deputy director of the FBI who was an FBI agent.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
So there are a lot of things over 100-year traditions are breaking.
This is, it seems like a bad thing. To have the White House just deciding who gets to be the pool. And if our media institutions had any balls, they would simply all say, well, screw that. We're not showing up to cover anything at the White House until you guys stop this malarkey. That's not
And it's starting today. They've kicked out HuffPost and Reuters today.
And they subbed in Axios. And of course, this is how it was. All right. They start out like, well, what's wrong with Axios? You think Axios is bad? Right.
Right.
And so that, you know, 6 months from now when it's OAN in there.
Matt Gaetz is the puller.
Right. So I don't know. Do you guys have some thoughts about this? Because this plus the Covington and Burling thing, which we'll talk in a minute, does strike me as Moscow level stuff. And maybe, you know what, let me just set the table with Covington and Burling. The other thing that happened yesterday is that the White House announced that they were going after the law firm of Covington and Burling. This is a very big D.C. white shoe firm. The White House is pulling security clearances from a bunch of lawyers who work there, which is all about actually hurting their personal economics, right? Because you lose your security clearance, you lose your ability to work on cases. And they are also pulling government contracts wherever they can with Covington and Burling. Why? Because Covington and Burling is representing Jack Smith in his litigation. And so the White House is making it clear that if you agree to serve as counsel for somebody they don't like, they will attack your business with the full force of government. So those two things both actually do seem like Moscow stuff. Am I wrong, Sarah?
No, you're right. And honestly, there's been a lot of these piling up. Edward R. Martin Jr.
Eagle Ed,
who is a United States attorney here in D.C., he tweeted, as President Trump's, and he put the apostrophe in the wrong place, as though Trump is plural, as though there are many Trumps. As President Trump's lawyers, we are proud to fight to protect his leadership as our president, and we are vigilant in standing against entities like the AP that refuse to put America first. So they are standing strong against a publication that is refusing to what put America first. What does that mean?
Say the Gulf of America.
I know what it means, but I mean, in general, like if we are now saying we are standing against people who fail to put America first, it's sort of like Trump shouting at Janet Meek Mills of Maine, we are the federal law now. So when you add all of these up, like at any individual instance, because there were individual instances in the first term that we were like, this is outside the rule of law. This is the kind of this is why we're talking about fascism, because they're doing a couple moves. But like they sort of were these one-offs in a way that now they're piling up in ways that feel like in the aggregate now, like
we're only 5 weeks in.
Yeah, no, like they.
It's only been 5 weeks.
JVL, I'm with you. Like we are in some legitimately. I agree with Tim. We are not Russia yet, and I think we should use the fact that we're not Russia yet to fight back as hard as we can, so that we don't become Russia. At the same time, I do not think we should be blind to how serious all of this is.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do: heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
The Covington and Burling thing, I think, is particularly interesting. And like, because it's complicated and because the quote unquote victims are like the least sympathetic people in the world, like rich lawyers, I think it's easy for this to kind of get washed over, because I don't, you know, it's not something that the Democrats can use with effect politically, like the firing of veterans of the VA or whatever. But within the context of like protecting the constitutional republic, like it's really important. Like, and I think like more important than even the pool thing, and then some of this other stuff, because like you said, JVL, I mean, it is the government going after political foes economically, right? Like that's what this is, right? It's like this law firm is representing somebody that I perceive to be a political foe because he was investigating me using the rule of law, even though, you know, it's not like he's a Democrat, but and so we're going to go after that firm. And so that is Eastern European type behavior, banana republic type behavior, and But then on top of that, there's like the demand side of this too. It also prevents people from getting the type of representation that they need, right? Because if you're stripping lawyers, like there are only so many lawyers that have like classified clearance, that have like security clearances that can go and do these high level cases. And so like you're limiting that pool of lawyers, limiting the ability to get good representation. If you are somebody that gets targeted by the government,
if you're Liz Cheney and you wind up in the government's crosshairs, who is going to take your case knowing that it could mean the loss of their ability to practice the kind of law they practice?
Correct. And the Liz Cheney thing is probably, you know, she'll be able to find somebody because, like, you know, there'll be some side benefits to that. Like, what about random FBI official that was part of the investigation into Russiagate 1.0 or whatever? There was some story. I don't know if people would have seen this because it's like, you remember Men in Black where like they're like, you've got to read the tabloids to get the real news. Like, sometimes you've got to like read the MAGA outlets to get the real news. But like, there was a Washington Times article yesterday that was like, they're looking into a Jim Comey honeypot scheme from 2016. And it's like, who the fuck even knows what they're talking about? And like, this some random reporter's probably friends with Dan Bongino popping off. But like, okay, let's say they open some investigation into some deputy of Jim Comey, but it was a classified investigation that they were doing into Russia activities, into Papadopoulos or whatever, all these characters from Trump 1.0. Who's going to take that case?
Forgot about Papadopoulos.
Yeah, who's going to take that case, right? Because there's no, that person isn't going to have that much money probably. There's no upside. You know, there's no sheen of Liz Cheney type respect. So yeah, I just think it's super alarming from that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know that there's any way to stop it. Right. That's the other thing. Like, what's the recourse?
Well, I mean, the recourse is, and this is so just
Tanya
going.
Chutkin.
Yeah, is a that judges stand up on some of this, which I think we've seen a lot of evidence that they're willing to do, in many cases. And then also, I mean, look, I don't know. This is going back to the AP, but there needs to be some of these like I am Spartacus moments here, guys. Like. So let's say you're the Washington Post. I understand if you think, well, if all of the legitimate publications refuse to cover the pool, it's just going to be all Newsmax and everything else. But Donald Trump does care about the New York Times coverage, whatever. And they should at least try. They should try to all say, all right, if you're going to set the pool, none of us are participating in the pool.
That's what they should do.
Right. I mean, so that's just a question for like Axios today. Like, what should Axios do?
Axios should say, abso-fucking-lutely not. It's not tough at all. It's the easiest thing in the world. It's the easiest thing in the world. And for the law firms, the only recourse, because I actually don't think that the court, maybe I'm wrong, maybe a lawyer friend will correct me here. I don't believe that anybody has standing to stop the government from pulling security clearances. I don't think that you can file a suit about that. I don't think that some judge could find against the government and force them to issue a security clearance. I think the only answer is a bunch of prestigious law firms are going to have to lose money because of this stuff and be willing to lose money. And they're going to have to say, yeah, we're going to take these cases. Why? Because fuck you. That's why. And that's what the media is going to have to do too. And to say, yeah, would maybe hurt us to not have access on that. Yeah, it might. And, we don't care. And I'm sorry, but like people need to start accepting pain. This idea that we're going to get out of this without ever having to give up anything. And maybe that's why, like we started this whole journey that way. And so we are a little more acclimated to pain, but it does drive me a little crazy that people seem to think that there is some way out of this, that if we were only clever enough, we could all figure out a way out of this that doesn't hurt. And I just don't think that that's the case.
Can I just tell you guys, I was reading, there's this guy's Substack, and somebody sent it to me, And he had written this long thing about the Ku Klux Klan in the 20s and how culturally dominant they were, how all the judges and the cops in lots of places, and like, you didn't know because they wore the hoods, but like, you knew who the Klan
was. Yeah, was this John Gans? Was this?
No, it actually wasn't. Okay. But there was this guy at the time. He owned his own little newspaper, and he just kept pounding at them. He would name names, and they kept throwing him in jail. And they kept trying to sue him and take his money, and the Klan judges would throw him in, and like eventually he had to leave, but then he came back. Anyway, every day he fought. And by the 30s, they had changed enough people's minds. The Klan would march through the streets and like it'd be six deep of people out there to cheer them on. And they owned all the institutions. And I've brought this up before, that like if you take a historical lens, it can help for me to think about like we have been in really bad places where people have been, and it wasn't just it was like the Klan was also there against immigrants, against Catholics, against Jews, as well as obviously Black people. And so like, but and they had a lot of support, and they controlled institutions, and they were eventually pushed out. Right. Eventually they lost power, but they were in Congress. They were everywhere. And so but the story is really about this guy who stood up and just like, but he did suffer pain. They bankrupted him. And like, that is very much. And I do wonder. I wonder what has to happen before people get to the point where they're like, because we keep kind of being shocked. Like there was that thing that came out from the district attorney in D.C. Everybody was like, everybody noticed the bad apostrophe, but also like, what are you saying? Like your job, that is not your job. You are not the president's personal attorney. What is happening? But it's just like Trump's Napoleon quotation about how like, you know, it's all right if I do it because I'm saving the country. Like we're in a really bad place. And at some point, I don't know what the place is where people are finally going to fight back, but I think we should already be there. And I think in the institutions like the press pool, and in the law firms, people are going to have to say, like, no, I refuse. That's it. People are going to have to refuse to do it. As long as they feel like people will go along, that's the power they have.
We've seen some of that already at the DOJ. It's funny. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's like, what, six, seven people have quit already for being told to do illegal actions? And then we have the woman, I guess, that's the administrator of DOGE. There's like some work. Did you see this yesterday? They're like, oh, yeah. There's this big legal question. Ben Wittes at Lawfare has been obsessed with this. So for people who want to know the backstory, I did the Wittes interview yesterday. But like for legal reasons, DOGE has to have like a person that is administratively in charge, because a special advisor to the president cannot legally like fire people. Right. Just for arcane legal reasons. So they kept asking, like judges kept asking, Anna Bauer at Lawfare kept asking, reporters kept asking, who is the administrator? Who is the person that is doing this? And yesterday they were like, they announced this woman's name, and it's like, Kathy Jones. She works from home in Tennessee. And like, she was in a mid-level person in the Obama administration. And it's like, really? No, Elon isn't in charge. It's this lady that is she really the one telling Big Balls what to do? I mean, there's a lot of Mod Bailey happening over here.
Kind of a problem. And again, I like the Susan Collinses of the world who were like, there must be a way out of this without me losing my seat or something. Like, no.
No, well, this was
the way out of this is that people have to get hurt.
Hurt how? I'm sorry. Are you not a senator anymore? Is it not worth it to you, Susan Collins, to be a hero for the Republic, to stand up for something real? And like, this is the thing that I will never understand about any of them. Is your Senate seat that precious? You're in your 70s. You've done your time. Like, go do the right thing. And like, you know what? And it's like, what's the pain of that? She loses her Senate seat and she like goes.
You're a millionaire.
Don't tell me that's real pain. That's anyway. Sorry. That was my reaction.
No, I agree with that. And just, you know, because we care about facts here. It's Amy Gleason, who's the administrator of DOGE. She began her career in nursing and then discovered a passion for technology. She is the chief operating officer of CareSync. So we'll keep an eye on Amy, who's I guess the one firing everybody.
Sure, her name's not Patsy.
Boom.
Nice. Is Amy going to show up on the Sunday shows? Is she going to be a guest on the Sunday shows this weekend?
We'll find out.
CPAC stage, great. Where was she?
The other thing about these senators, at least Susan Collins voted against some of these people. They were playing these clips from The Hill. I hadn't seen some of them, and it was like John Curtis from Utah, who has emerged from the cave, and John Thune. And Lisa has actually done a couple of things, but Murkowski was on there. There's one, Attilis, I think, was the fourth one. And it's like, you know, we're hoping that Elon and I guess Amy Gleason are using some empathy. We're hoping they could use a little bit more empathy. Like, I'm directionally with them. We got to cut a fraud and abuse, but like, we could use a little bit more empathy or humanity, treat people with dignity. These are all the words that were being used. And I'm like, wait, who do you think is in charge of the government right now? Right? Like, if you want people to be treated with humanity and dignity, then like, you, Senate Majority Leader John Thune, are going to have to take some power back and demand that people be treated with empathy. Because if you just let Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the vaping bros run roughshod over the government, we know what they're going to do. So, like, what is even the point of saying, like, I wish they would use a little empathy, right? Like, there's no, just, I guess, just to make you feel good. I mean, it's like a Republican version of virtue signaling, honestly.
Yes.
Like, which is like the meanest thing that Republicans could say about Democrats. But it's like the Republican version of virtue signaling. Like, I have some empathy, but
no,
it's like,
I don't
okay,
even
then
think
do
it's that.
Something.
I think it's self-soothing.
Self-soothing.
I think maybe. It's self-soothing, yeah. Right? It's not even about virtue signaling. Like, they feel the need to say something.
You're right,
There's also a way in which, so I saw Dan Crenshaw, who we should talk about just like ever so briefly.
Because he wants to murder Tucker?
Yeah. Which
I feel like if one of us talked that way, it would be a very, very big deal about the end of civility and how dare you, sir, and like saying that you would actually kill somebody.
Yeah. I mean, didn't Dan get to go on Saturday Night Live because somebody made a joke about because Pete Davidson made a joke about how he had one eye, and then he gave a speech about civility?
Well, I mean, to be fair, here's what I like these hot mic moments because it is a reminder. See, Tucker is authentic to who he is, which is like the scummiest scumbag. Russia loving. Well, you're right, Tim. For all we know, he's destroying this for shits and giggles. Like, Tucker's the worst. But Dan Crenshaw, he hates these people and yet, you know, pretends like he's on the team. But the thing about Crenshaw that was not the Tucker thing. Oh, I saw him doing a clip the other day. He was on one of the Sunday shows and he was saying how, well, President Trump, you know, is smart enough to know that if you abandon Ukraine, whatever. And he's couching it as like this is how they try to manipulate Trump or how they try to manipulate Elon. Like, there is, I think it's not just self-soothing. I also think they think that their power is now these subtle nudges to be like, well, somebody with your bright mind, Elon, would know that having some empathy here as you do this is very important. And they think what they're doing is like pushing them in the right direction.
I got to tell you, the self-soothing at least is a psychological thing that I can understand that is sensible. If John Curtis thinks that he's nudging Trump by mentioning that he'd like to see a little bit more empathy, like, he is too stupid to vote rather than to be in the Senate. Like, he is too stupid to, like, exist. Like, how does he wake up in the morning? Like, how does he make himself breakfast if he's dumb enough to think that Donald Trump is going to care about his comments?
Do you know, I do think that they are all, if not dumb humans, I do think they are insulated and somewhat blind to what is happening to the Republican Party. And I think some of them are, like, just catching up. Like, it's weird. It's like it happened to Mike Pence, but maybe it hadn't happened to them. But it feels like sometimes they're just starting to be like, oh, you know what? This is because here's the thing. How could they give Cash Patel? Like, I mean, Murkowski voted for RFK. No, she didn't vote for Patel.
Yeah, you're right.
She voted for RFK. And, you know, I'm a big Murkowski defender over here. but I have been like, what are you guys doing?
She's got to preserve some political capital.
Yeah. To use you got to keep your powder dry, guys. You got to keep that powder dry for when it's all over.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, if not her, like if she were to lose her spot, the person who replaced her would be really bad. So she has to vote like a really bad person in order to prevent a really bad person from also voting like a really bad person. Sure. Yeah, that all makes sense.
Didn't she just win? She like has years. Like, how about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go be an independent, Lisa Murkowski. Switch. I'll tell you, of all the things on JVL's world that I've come around to, like, I have understood intellectually the whole time why one remains Republican. I no longer, but I think, like, I think we'd hit this line a long time ago, where it is now morally not okay to remain a Republican.
It is pretty crazy. I know this is a JVL thing, so this JVL can rub his belly with the JVL is always right thing. But, like, it's pretty astonishing that we're 9 years into the Trump era and the only elected officials who have changed parties have been from Democrat to Republican. Like, there hasn't been a single person, not a single, I mean, God love Liz and Adam and all that and whatever. It's not like, there's not been a, like, you know, like that kind of happened a lot when we were growing up. Like Ben Nighthorse Campbell switched parties.
All the time.
Jeffries or Jeffords in Vermont? Jeffords, I think.
Zell Miller.
In Pennsylvania, we had our senator, Arlen Specter.
Yeah, Arlen. Yeah. And like not a single person has been like, you know, I think, I don't know if this party's for me anymore.
The Republican Party's formal position, well, maybe it's an informal position, is that Mike Pence should be murdered and Mike Pence can't bring himself to leave the Republican Party.
That's true.
That's something.
I mean, what is that? Okay, we got to move on because we have hard outs here.
I think that's what happens when you're in a cult.
It might be.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Do you guys want to talk a little bit about your big weekend? You guys went out and met some people and human beings, and I got to skip it, which was amazing. And then Enrique Tarrio, who is fresh off of being arrested last Friday.
Let out of jail, then arrested, then let out.
Let out of jail, released. Arrested, released again.
Yeah.
Because he was arrested for assaulting a counter-protester, and I would say allegedly assaulting a counter-protester, but the arrest was done because the cops were right there watching it. And so it's not like somebody called the cops and then it was, you know, like a person, you know, the alleged victim's word against the alleged defendants. It was the cops watched this thing happen and were like, hey, you can't do that, and went and arrested him. And then he showed up to your principal first. I don't know, like, let's do some story time, I guess. Do you guys want to tell me what went down or what your feelings were, or does this like not interest you at all?
No, it's interesting. I actually think it's really important.
Okay.
Tim and I were kind of closing the day, the first day. And the first day was, I mean, first of all, the principal's first, I've been to all of them. And in the early days, like a couple hundred people. And this time it was like sold out with a big long waiting list. And Mark Cuban spoke and Chris Christie was like, there was like a pretty like, crazy hodgepodge of people. That were there speaking. So it was impressive. It was just like an impressive event. But so Tim and I were closing out the first day. And when we got there, I was like kind of running late. We were planning our, you know, much like the show, we were trying to come up with what we were going to talk about 5 minutes before we were going on. And like, but while we were kind of in the back, like backstage waiting, the cops, the January 6th cops who had been on a panel. So it was Harry Dunn. It was Michael Fanone. Gunnell, who received like a Courage Award, the Enrique Tarrio and a bunch of the Proud Boys show up at the front of the conference. And I think some of the backstory here is also there was a weird thing that happened at CPAC. Weird, I don't know, but like Matt Schlapp, they had been not allowed into CPAC, and then of course everybody complained that they weren't allowed into CPAC. Like if you look at Matt Schlapp's, because I've checked it out, just checked it out to see if people were giving him grief over his latest alleged assault.
Fondling. pummeling.
Pummeling.
Penis pummeling
situation.
Mr. Banana Grabber. Hi, Heather.
But no, that's not what they were mad about. What they were mad about was that the January 6th attackers had not been let into CPAC. And so, of course, Match Slap reverses course and says, of course, these people are welcome at CPAC. But it was like always a little hazy of maybe if like some of them weren't allowed in or what. Anyway, they decided to come over to the principal's first event. And they basically come into the lobby of the hotel and start like trying to get in. And because it is a sold out event, they're like being told, no, I'm sorry, you can't have a ticket. And then, but they're filming, right? They bring cameras so they can put the whole thing on.
Did Ivan Raiklin with them, the MAGA Marauder? He's like 5'3". Very scary.
Very scary.
Very scary. 5'2½", man.
Well, if you actually see, and so like then, so the Harrington and Michael Fanone, I don't know, they did go up. There was like a confrontation then where everybody, and like, imagine the bad blood between, like, bad blood's not even, it's like a stupid term because this isn't like a Real Housewives fight. These are the people who attacked the Capitol, who like tased Michael Fanone, and then who have been harassing him, right? Like these guys who were the January 6th cops who have been outspoken about what happened that day and testified in front of the committee, they have been subject to just nonstop harassment, and their families. And so there was this bad confrontation, and I was backstage with Tim, and I was like, are we nervous? Are we nervous about going out on stage right now? People are trying to get in to like fight with everybody. I don't know, Tim. That was the first day. I can get to the second day. But
yeah, I don't really have much to add to that. I mean, I again, we had security there. Harry Dunn is like 7'3".
He's so big.
And so I was figuring I could hide behind him. So I wasn't really nervous at all. And it felt like a stunt. So at some level, you hate to give them even attention for it. But, you know, because of your point of like the righteous anger of these guys, of Harry and Michael and Gunnell, is like so understandable. I'm going to talk to Fanone about it later on YouTube. But like, you know, so I felt more less scared and more like mad for them. You know what I mean? And so, you know, when we went out there, I kind of felt it was more important to hold the line and to be talk about righteous anger and standing up for ourselves rather than worry about them. And they'd already been kicked out by then.
What color shirts were these gentlemen wearing? Were they wearing brown shirts by any chance?
I think Terrio was in a very tight tee, as I recall. I don't know. It was hard to see Raiklin. He was so small.
But here's the thing that happened the next day, and this is important. So the next day, I wasn't going to the conference, or my plan was not to go. And like halfway through the day, maybe noonish or something, someone called in a bomb threat to the hotel, and they sent an email, and it included a bunch of very specific pipe bomb threats, including Michael Fanone's mother. I can't remember who, but they were like, we've put them in this room. And it was like a weird...
Bill Crystal was mentioned, not you or me.
No. Well, it was all boys. It was all men. It was all the... We were not on the hit list of...
I would say that maybe I was not included because I wasn't... because they don't include gays as men, but they did specifically name another gay person and call him the... Sebastian gets mad. I can't say the F slur on here because we get demonetized. But it's not because we're woke. But anyway, I guess maybe I'm just not on their radar.
So we ended up having to kind of like hold a press conference at the end of the day to sort of explain what had happened. But here's the thing. They evacuated the conference, which, you know, it's got 1,000 people in it. So everybody's got to go stand for
a couple
hours. Did they
evacuate the hotel? I was wondering about that because I had left by then.
No, it was just the, so every, because it was like, they said they put them, I think, down. Yeah. There was like in the room. And so like the MPD, so now everybody's got to come and sweep the place.
Yeah.
And I do think there was one room, that hotel room, maybe they said, and they went, they were going to go, you know, they checked that room pretty quick. Anyway, everybody stayed. Like everybody just like stood around for a while and then they were like, okay, and we're going to reconvene. And everybody stayed and everyone went back and they finished the conference. And here's the thing. I don't know. The email, you know, was like kind of one of those spoof emails, but like it said it was from Enrique Tarrio. So like at first there was like a little bit of like, was this Tario again since he was here the day before? I do think, you know, one does often not sign their own bomb threats. And it was like, you know, I'm not going to actually say what the email was. But to me, the story was, despite the fact that these January 6 cops have been harassed within an inch of their life, the fact that their families are being harassed every time they make a public appearance, they haven't stopped making public appearances. And all these people who came to this conference, just normies, but a lot of Bulwark people, when there was a bomb threat, they just went back to the conference. And to me, there was like a casual bravery to all of it that you see out of none of our elected officials. Like, and to me, this is sort of like where we're going to, and I said this on the stage, we released that talk that we did, but like, ultimately, we're going to be the ones we're waiting for, right? Like, we are going to be the ones who have to both, I think, do the thing that we're yelling at everybody else to do, because I'm not sure they will. But none of these people who showed up for this were cowed. None of the speakers were. Everybody still went and got on stage. We went and got on stage when, like, it was happening right then. I don't know. That was my big takeaway, was, like, they continue to try to chill civic spaces. They continue to try to, they want to disrupt places like that and make people feel fear. And, like, no one in that room did.
Hell yeah. Good job, people in the room.
I'm still glad I wasn't there. People.
Ugh. Everyone asked about you. They were like, where is the JVL?
Everyone did ask about you. It was annoying.
It was annoying. And I was like, well, he hates this and you. And everybody was like, ooh, give me more bad JVL. Yes, he's such a hater. Yeah. Love him so much.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys about bad JVL. So my brother-in-law is on a signal chain with some friends who are collecting social media posts from Trump supporters who are absolutely outraged at bad things happening to them. And so, for instance, today we have, I just want to read this to you. It's a Facebook post. I've been a proud Trump supporter for 3 elections, and now my business just got cut off from our federal contract. This is bull. We're not some DEI quota filler. We do real hard work. We need to get in touch with someone ASAP to fix this mess. Like and share so the right people see this.
Give me more. I want more. I want more. Actually, I need one more. I just need one more.
Do you want one more?
I need one more.
Okay. My daughter is losing her job thanks to Doge. I voted for President Trump 3 times. My daughter is a hard-working, excellent worker for the Manistee, I assume this is sick, National Forest. She doesn't work for DEI. She runs the office. I'm pissed. At POTUS45, at Elon Musk. It's not right. Elon.
Do people think DEI is an agency? She doesn't work for DEI.
Manatees. I'm sorry. If you're doing manatee work, you're a shitlib. Sorry,
right, let me read another. Let me read another one for you. Today, I found out my neighbor who works for the USDA lost his job. I don't know him well, but I do know he's worked for USDA for the 12 years I've known him. What I do know is that I'm incredibly happy for him and his family. I'm glad he lost his career. I'm glad he lost his source of income. I'm glad he got everything he voted for. I'm just waiting to see how long it takes for the Trump flag he's been flying for the last 5 years to come down.
That one's a little less satisfying. But okay. Where are you going with this?
I just wanted to ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, how wrong is it to get off on these?
I mean, I think that if you're literally jerking off to them, that is a problem, and you should probably see a therapist.
All right, so let's say not. Let's pretend it's not literally. Let's look at Sarah. Oh, bad wolf! Sarah has her arms crossed.
Sorry,
Sarah. Oh, Sarah's crossed her arms, and now she's going to use my middle name.
I think it's okay to take a little bit of satisfaction in people seeing the consequences of their own actions. I think it's okay to take a little bit. I think it can go overboard like anything else. You know, I think having two drinks of bourbon is pretty good. Having 20, you know, sometimes gets you into trouble.
I'm not saying that I get off on this. I was just asking for a friend.
Sure. Let me reframe this for you so that you can be in a better moral place with your happiness. Because I think that the part to take solace in and perhaps derive some happiness in is that the level of chaos that these guys are, and like it's so diffuse that like each of these individual stories represents what I hope will be, in aggregate, a drop in support for Trump, like a fierce, like a stone drop, like anger toward him that will rob him of the number one thing that is giving him power right now, which is the patina of public support for the stuff that he's doing. And so each individual story hopefully layers up to a public refutation of what Trump is doing. And so that you can find pleasure in. That can make us happy. I think delighting in the individual pain of people is probably not good for you.
Okay. Well, I mean, to be clear, again,
that's for a friend.
I don't. And the good JVL, the good JVL's response to these is that what we should do to people like this when we encounter them in our lives is we should say, I am so sorry that this happened to you and that these very bad people lied to you. How can I help?
I really like that JVL, in order to get through this moment, has like severanced himself, like split himself into parts so that he can say, no, not this guy.
Which
over
one is
here
the innie and which one is the outie?
How can I
No help? One knows.
Obviously, the how I can I help is the innie.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I would say I do think it's interesting and we can get into this as the weeks go on, but like consumer confidence is down. The stock market is down. Mm. People are losing their jobs. There's not a ton of stories about like people getting jobs. You know, there's not a ton of stories out there about like Trump's not, again, you could
that's
imagine
not
an alternate
like
world
a
where
dozen
Trump's
19-year-old interns who now have gainful employment with
that's
the federal
true.
Government.
You can imagine.
And this woman, Amy, what's her face?
She got a big promotion.
She did.
But like, you can imagine a world where Trump's out there. He did this, right, with Modest Yahasan or whatever his name is. I'm calling him Modest Yahoo, like the white rapper, the white Zionist rapper. Matayoshi-san. What is it, JVL? What's
who are you talking about? What is the person you're talking about? The SoftBank guy?
Yeah. You know, he did the press conference with them. It's like, we're investing in America, right? Like, you could imagine a thing where, like that was what they're focusing their energy on. Haven't seen a ton of that. We have seen the stories of people losing their job. We have seen the polls about consumer confidence. I think I do think that's a bad sign for them. And I don't see a lot of outs at the moment. I see a lot of ways that it can get worse and not a ton that it's going to get better. So there you go.
All right. Did you want to talk about Tech Bros?
Okay, I did, but here's what I really just want to say. JVL's article from the Triad earlier this week about why tech bros want authoritarianism is so good.
It is good.
And it's so important because I just think going back to Sarah's comment from Kara at the beginning about like giving people a framework for why these people are bad is very important, right? And like the idea that they're stealing all of your information because they want to create an AI supercomputer, I think is a good framework. That they're in a race, in a tiny dicked race to be the first trillionaire is like a good frame. I also think yours is JVL, which is like they actually don't want you to be in charge of your own destiny at all. Like they've decided that the system is broken and that there should be a small cadre of brilliant tech dorks who make decisions for everybody. I think that is also a good frame. And so I just think it was an important article as like people start to think about how to talk about this. I think all of those are more effective than being like just billionaire bad, though I think obviously billionaire bad works for some people. And so I like it and I want to go deeper, but Sarah, I think, is on spring break in a couple of weeks. So maybe me and JVL secret podcast can just be about Curtis Yarvin. Cause I don't know that we're going to have time to like really get into that in a deep way right now. But that was what I wanted to say.
Well, thank you. It's very kind.
JVL got a lot of praise on this show. This is getting a lot of.
That is annoying. I mean, have either of you guys praised me recently? I can't think of it. That's fine. Not a fish. No, do it. Just wait till it comes naturally. It's fine.
You know, I did a show with Dan Pfeiffer yesterday where I almost cried on air talking about Sarah.
I fell asleep during that show. I just kind of dozed off. I just needed
dagger.
A nap. I just needed a quick nap. It wasn't your fault. It was my nap time. I do these 8-minute, I call them Mimi naps because my Mimi, rest in power Mimi, would take these naps that are like sometimes as short as 30 seconds to as long as like 11 minutes. That's it though. Nothing more. And I've like trained myself to do them. So like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon every day, I like will nod off, and sometimes it'll be 30 seconds, but I'll feel rejuvenated. And that happened to me during your Dan Pfeiffer interview, but I'll give it another swing today.
And obviously now that I know you talked about me, I'll go listen to it.
It's here. I'll save you the half hour. I think it's like at minute 24 or something.
Oh, thanks.
Like that.
That
it's
is
in
helpful.
The back third of the show. All right, guys, good show, long show, last show together for a little bit, or no, we're going to have, we'll have a little bit of time together before Sarah heads off and we have to start taping.
It's 1 week. It's
hours.
1 week of spring break.
Sarah's gone for spring break in like a month.
Spring
we're
break!
Close
woo!
To last week together.
Yeah, are you going to go to Senor Frogs? Senor Tadpoles.
Next Wednesday show. Yeah. Oh, shit. I forgot when we rescheduled next Wednesday show taping for, but it's the day after Mardi Gras. So we might have to push that back. That might have to be.
Can't
take your Z-biotics, Tim.
I will be taking my Z-biotics. All right.
All right, guys. Subscribe to the channel, like the feed, all those things. We'll catch you next week. Good luck, America.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.